Hi, I'm Bree, and this is the Soft Launch Files. I'm a Capricorn, a grad student, and I'm turning 30, which means, yeah, there's a lot to talk about. This podcast is my digital diary, sometimes personal, sometimes chaotic, always honest. If you're into growth, ambition, quiet unravelings, and just figuring it out as you go, welcome. You're in good company.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Soft Launch Files. I'm your host, Bree. Hopefully you can't hear the fan going in here today because it's super hot. I've just found out how to use the active noise canceling on my microphone, so I'm hoping that you can't hear it because otherwise I'd be dying in here without it. I like the beginning of these because I feel like it's like a fun time for us to kind of just have a catch up and talk through anything new, exciting. For me, I'm 2 weeks out from finishing my graduate degree, so I will have my master's in data science by the end of next week. Wow, that is like kind of crazy to say. It's been about 18 months. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do once it's over. I think that potentially I'll be doing a lot more content. That's something that is exciting and new for me, so I'm happy to be doing that. I will hopefully be doing a bit more writing and more reading too. I've not had much time to read books or write really recently, but I'm excited to take on some new challenges. Maybe take on another degree. I'm not sure yet. I'm still kind of on the fence. Part of me is like, keep going, explore the PhD route next, but I also just don't know if I have it in me at this juncture in my life to make that time commitment, knowing that it will be significantly more than even the master's degree. So, I don't know, we'll see. I'll let you guys know where I land. Anyways, I thought that we could kind of talk about friendships. So something in the universe has been prompting me to talk about friendships lately. I had previously told you guys on my last podcast installment that I have a friend who's on vacation in Europe, and she was actively sharing her location with me because she went and met up with a guy in France who, if you were looking for an update, she really liked. She had a great time. She had her full Emily in Paris moment, and I'm really happy and excited for her. So I guess I will hear more about that when she gets back. Much happier that there was actually nothing to worry about versus me thinking that I was going to need to call a French embassy on her behalf. So you could say this was the best case scenario for sure. So I was super, so excited for her, but it was also very uncomfortable because of the fear of her getting taken. But yeah, it all ended well. Another sort of interesting update in my life that has me thinking more about friendships and kind of being nostalgic for a time where it was a lot easier to make friends is that a ex-best friend of mine, I guess this is the best way to categorize her, sent me a message on Facebook recently, or Facebook Messenger, because I don't think there's any way that this person has my new phone number because I changed it a few years ago as just like a full send purge moment where I was like, if you don't have my new number, you don't need to have my new number kind of thing. I don't know if you guys have had that moment. I had that phone number for probably at least 10 years and I was just full scorched earth moment. Like, change the number, need to know basis. If you don't have my number, then you probably don't need to. But so someone reached out to me on Facebook Messenger, which I really only keep because, one, I guess family members. So I have some family members overseas that tend to message me using Facebook Messenger because, like, texting's not as much, it's just not as easy of a thing to do internationally. A lot of times if you're texting someone internationally, it's easier to just use, like, an application versus text messages. So I have Facebook Messenger. I don't use Facebook anymore. I don't even have the app downloaded. I only have Messenger. I also have another friend who is a Android user, and it's just easier to use Messenger to message her because it's faster. I can use Wi-Fi, and I have a horrible signal here, so it takes forever for me to text her using real text messaging because then I have maybe like one bar or two bars at all times at my house. So I have to use some sort of texting application. It's just easier. Anyways, You probably don't care why I have Facebook Messenger on my phone, but I have Facebook Messenger for various reasons. But this individual from my past, she sent me a song. I think it's called Bridesmaid. I don't even know who it's by, but you'll probably look it up. It's about being friends previously and like how, you know, this friend is not there to be her bridesmaid. I don't know. It felt a little odd to me because it's been quite some time since we've parted ways. She was supposed to be the maid of honor in my wedding. And granted, it's been almost a decade now, right? But from what I recall, things just got really toxic. We had conflict of opinion, and it was my wedding, and I just, in that moment, I needed to minimize my stress. I was going through a lot of chaos in my personal life, and I just didn't need anything added to it. So I distanced myself from this person. I ended up asking an even longer term, an even older friend of mine to be my maid of honor, and she did a great job. Basically, she messaged me totally unprompted, just sent me this song, told me that she wished me well, hoped that I was doing well. So I read the message, I pull the message up, totally not thinking that it was from this person. I was just pulling the message up because I thought it was my best friend messaging me on Facebook, like she normally does. So I read the message and then I felt really weird because I felt like I had to respond because now she's on red and I don't want to be rude, right? Like, again, I don't have any like ill will towards this person and I don't want them to feel like I think that was the case. So I left her on red all day long because she sent me the message while I was in a meeting. And I don't typically respond during meetings anyways. I just happen to read it and move on. But at the end of the day, I did message her back and I just kind of like liked the message and told her that I hope she's doing well. I think something of that nature because I truly just did not know what to say. It wasn't very clear to me what this person wanted other than, I don't know, maybe just to be nostalgic. So if anything, I just felt like I could acknowledge it and then kind of just keep moving. I don't know if that was the right thing to do, but it kind of had me thinking more about, like, if I were to consider rekindling a friendship, be it this one or any other one, like, sort of what are the gut checks that I would need to make? I thought, like, first and foremost, you should check your emotional reaction. So when you get that text message, when you see that person's name pop up on your phone, do you have a good reaction? Do you have a bad reaction? Do you have a visceral reaction? I think there could be a whole spectrum of how you react to a text message from someone. And I think that it could be very telling, right? So should we continue the interactions or should we keep our distance? The second thing, you can assess just sort of the personal growth on both sides. Have you grown since that situation? Have they grown since that situation? It might be kind of difficult to assess that up front because if you haven't had contact with the person over, like, let's say 10 years, then, I mean, there's a fair bit that happened in that person's life and your life that neither of you are privy to because you haven't been a part of each other's lives. So it may be difficult to assess that up front at face value, but if at all possible, I think it's probably a good idea to see if there's been enough personal growth on both sides before rekindling a friendship. I also think, too, that you should think about the person's intentions, right? So does the person genuinely have intentions of starting a friendship with you and growing a friendship with you? Or maybe are they just feeling nostalgic? Because, I mean, I think that people tend to feel nostalgic about people, places, and things. And maybe it's just that they were taking a walk down memory lane and they were remembering a lot of the good times that you had. You know, I think it's very possible that people kind of look back on the time that you've spent together with sort of rose-colored glasses on because it's just easier to remember the better parts than it is to remember how it ended. So I think it's really important to weigh their intentions, right? Like, is it convenience, potentially? Is it nostalgia? Is it genuine? And it could be genuine. I'm not saying that to question it is to assume that the intentions aren't genuine. They very well could be, but I think it's important to kind of do that gut check and understand is this person genuinely interested in pursuing a friendship with me? Could there be any other motives? I also think that you should probably take a hard look at how it ended before, right? So again, it could have been 10 years ago, but like, so it could have been something very trivial and just even childish if you were super young at the time as to why you all parted ways. But have you resolved those past issues, right? Like, so were they childish? Are they something that you would overlook now? Is it something that you regret having made a big deal of in the past? Is it something that they regret making a big deal of in the past? Because I'm kind of making the assumption that you're the person who parted ways, because that's sort of how things ended in my friendship. But it could be that the other person did. So do you have any unresolved hurt from that relationship? You know, the last thing you want to do is fall back into toxic dynamics. And if you walked away because things got toxic, then you might already have your answer. I also think that you need to take a hard look at your boundaries in your capacity. So I'm about to turn 30. I've got a successful professional career right now. I've got a pretty busy academic career as I'm winding down this degree that I'm doing. And then I'm actually about to be heading out on vacation with my family in a few weeks. And I guess the question it begs is, do you even have the bandwidth for this right now? You know, can you nurture a new relationship, or do you just have too much on your plate? And I think that it could be telling, like, if you really don't have the time or the bandwidth for this person right now, if you tell them, like, hey, honestly, like, I'm not in a place to start any new relationships or rekindle a friendship, then if they're respectful to that and say, hey, that's fine, I totally understand, you know, maybe let me know if anything changes, or let me know if you do end up having capacity to try to rekindle something. I don't know. I think it's important for you to acknowledge whether or not you have the space or the bandwidth even to embark on this journey. Because let's face it, it'll be a journey, right? Like, it ended for a reason. I just keep coming back to that. So I think the last check is just, and I've kind of alluded to this the whole time, but just trust your gut, right? If it feels off, respect your instincts. You don't need to force anything. Surely, if somebody is reaching out, even if they have the best intentions, or even if they say they have the best intentions, and it seems like they do, if your gut feels like something's off, then don't feel obligated. Don't feel forced out of, even if it's just politeness. You don't have to feel like you have to compromise on your boundaries just because somebody else is interested in your time, right? Your time is just as valuable as theirs. And if you choose to abstain from engaging with this person because you value your time and your boundaries, then, I mean, ultimately, like, you're kind of respecting them too, in a sense. Because if you compromise on your own values in order to oblige to somebody else's wants or needs, then you're not really starting in a good place, in my opinion. So check your emotional reaction. Assess if you guys have grown enough on both ends to be able to even consider a friendship. Consider their intentions. Consider your intentions. How did it end before? It may be painful to revisit that, but I think it's really important to understand what, if any, unresolved feelings or hurt that you have from that situation. I also think you need to evaluate your boundaries and capacity. That's probably one of the most important ones, right? Friendships take time and effort. They just do. And trust your gut. If something's telling you this is off, it probably is. And it's okay to keep moving. I guess that's my take. That's sort of the mental process that I've gone through over the last several days, just thinking about that person and that message and them kind of just popping up out of the blue. I mean, granted, this person hasn't asked me if we could be friends again or anything like that, but it's just, I don't know. It makes you think when you get messages like that. Like, what are your intentions? If your intentions are to be friends again, then what does that mean for me? And how do I feel about it? I just think it's important to check in with yourself in those situations. Outside of that, I am back on Bumble again. Not Bumble. I'm not, like, looking for a romantic partner. But I'm on Bumble BFF, which, honestly, it's the same process, right? Like, you're basically dating like friendship dating, I guess, so to speak. You're swiping right and left on people, no different than you would on Tinder or regular Bumble or Hinge. And you're just hoping that your first interaction isn't super awkward and that you can connect somehow, find some common ground, and then maybe see each other again. So it's very similar to dating in a sense. It's tough for me because no one really lives near me that's using Bumble, BFF. Maybe I'm using the wrong app. Maybe there's another app that women are using in my age group. But I've really kind of struggled to find like-minded people in the area. I also don't drink and I don't smoke. So I don't know. I feel like that's kind of a deal breaker for a lot of people in my age group right now, because yes, I'm in my late 20s. I'm 29, almost 30. But I still feel like if you don't have, there's kind of two groups of people. There's people who have like settled down and have children and have sort of made that like the family is their identity, and that's very deeply ingrained in with the people that they connect with. They tend to connect with other people with families or young children. Or you're kind of in your single era and maybe you're still into the bar scene and you're still into partying, which it was never really my thing to begin with. I mean, even when I was younger, 21, 22, say, it was never really my thing to just go out and all out rage or like go to the bars. I just never found it super appealing. I'm more of the friend that will sit and read books with you, stream movies with you, do any activity outdoors with you, go to the beach with you, get lunch or something like that. But yeah, partying, drinking is not really my thing. That's been tough because I do think that down here there's quite the bit of drinking culture, I would say. There's a lot of like outdoor restaurants, a lot of breweries. So that's obviously very popular and a way that people, I think, try to connect and make friends. So it's been a bit tough like in my local area to make friends. Now at work, I think I have a load of female friends, and a lot of us are in similar age group. I'd say like within 5-10 years of me, I have a lot of friends in that age group who are, you know, really pursuing their professional careers. They have, like, we're in a similar field, similar educational backgrounds. Also, no one's super reliant on their husband or boyfriends to support their lifestyles. I'm extremely driven, career-focused right now. Most women, at least near me, are not. And not that there's anything wrong, right? I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with being a stay-at-home mom or having one spouse be the majority earner or single income earner in a household. I think that's totally fine. But for me and my own security, I think it's really important for me to have my own sort of financial independence. I just need to feel like I'm contributing to my relationship, both financially and emotionally, physically. I want to show up in all regards, right? I want to be a good partner. I want to help us achieve our financial goals. I also don't want to feel like I'm a burden, and I don't want to feel like I'm trapped either, if that makes sense, right? Like, and I think it's just from seeing a lot of other women go through that, where you don't have the financial means to leave someone, so you end up staying in a relationship that is long expired. And again, like, I'm not saying that that's the majority of women. If you're in a situation where your husband supports you and your children, that's how it's going to end up for you. It's just personally, for my own sanity, I need to feel like I can financially support myself. And that's not the sole reason that we're together. I'm not just with you because I can't afford to leave you. It's very important for me to be able to make that distinction, because I feel like there's potential for unbalanced power dynamics in other situations. And again, I'm not saying that if that's you and you're financially dependent on your husband or your boyfriend or your wife or your spouse, I'm not saying that that's your situation, that you're being trapped financially. Not the case. I just personally have a real aversion to ever feeling like I'm remotely even close to being in that position. It's very important for me to have a solid career, solid finances, and to really show up in those aspects of my life. So, and being really career driven and sort of professionally focused right now. Most women near me just are not, you know, they're living their family mothering phase of life, which I mean, is fine. And it's probably to be expected because technically I live in the deep South, really. Plus the pool here, there's a big military presence. So lots of military spouses, stay-at-home moms, people who are like more traditional roles. And there's nothing wrong with that. Again, I feel like I've said that a million times. You're probably annoyed with how many times I'm saying that. There's nothing wrong with that. I just feel like I'm looking for someone who is similar to me. And my self-identity is very independent, career-focused. I mean, let's face it, I'm just not really even considering children right now. I mean, if you were to ask me today, yes or no, kids, I'd probably say no. I'm just not in that phase of life that a lot of others are. I feel like this is where someone's going to say, well, isn't your husband your best friend? Yes, obviously. But there's something really magical about female friendships. Women are so empathetic and thoughtful. And let's face it, there's only so many times that I can drag my husband to Home Goods and expect us to mutually have a good time. So there's something really important about having female friendships. I'm really proud of who I am right now. In fact, like, I can confidently say that I would want to be friends with me. And I think it's really important to be someone that you would want to be friends with. And I can happily say that I'm at that point in my life where I love myself and I'm really proud of who I am. And I would be very happy to be friends with someone who was like me. Looking for people who value the same things and share the same goals and achievements that I have. And I think that, I mean, I think that that's totally normal. Right, like, I don't think I'm saying anything radical here by saying, like, I want to find friends who are like me. And I'm not, like, eliminating the possibility that I could be friends with someone who's totally opposite me, but I just, right now, I'm, like, kind of looking for support, I think, is the biggest thing in a friendship. I want to be able to empathize with someone over having, like, a long, hard day at work. And for someone to kind of understand the things that I'm going through and talking about. And it's the same way that, like, I don't think that I could really relate to someone who is a stay-at-home mom right now. I just don't know that we would have a ton in common. Not saying that I haven't met some lovely stay-at-home mothers or other different fields, I guess, than I'm in. But I just am really looking for a group to help me get through this chapter in my life where I'm really trying to level up in my career. I've also tried being more involved in the beekeeping club that my husband's in. And the people are nice. I have absolutely no problems with them. I think that they're all very nice people, at least so far as I've met them. And I don't mind going to beekeeping events, but I'm also not super passionate about beekeeping. Not the way that my husband is, at least. And I struggle a bit here because I think it's also really important for you to have your own individual interests when you're in a relationship. We don't have to do everything together. In fact, I think it's healthy to do things apart and to have separate interests. You know, just because we're married doesn't mean we have to like everything that the other person likes. And I think it's unreasonable to expect that. So I've tried the club thing. So I've tried the club thing. I've tried the community thing, or hobby group, I guess you could call it. I haven't found any clubs that I'm super interested in yet, but I'm going to keep my eye out. Hopefully something else comes up. Maybe there's a good book club I can join or something like that. And I have met some women off of Bumble BFF. And even though it is really scary, right? So catfish is real. You never know who or what you're going to walk into when you go on these friendship coffee dates, coffee chat type things. And I mean, so far I've had like pretty good experiences. Not good in that I've made a lot of friends, but good in that at least the person that I saw in the profile is the person that I met in person as well. I did have one friend. I did have one woman that I met who lived locally, and she was a pharmacist. So she was kind of in the same spot in life as I am. And we went and got pedicures, I think, a couple times. It just kind of fizzled out. I think, like, we both were looking for friendship, but maybe we just didn't click, per se. And I also think that she was just starting a new relationship, or was getting more serious in her relationship, and that was taking up a lot of her time, which I totally respect, right? Like, when you're in a new relationship, that is going to occupy more of your time than pretty much anything else. So I can totally understand it not working out for the both of us, but yeah, it just kind of fizzled. I also met another woman who was in a similar field as me, and we had brunch one day, and we got to talking. She started bashing her friends and family sort of like off the bat, and I think it's kind of ballsy to do that with someone you don't, like, you've someone you've just met. You're automatically gossiping, bashing your friends and your closest friends and family, and like, I just, that was kind of a red flag for me, because you've just met me, you already feel that comfortable saying these things about these people. And also, if your first interaction with someone has to be by talking, like, has to include talking negatively about someone else, I don't know. I just don't think that we're a good fit. So I've had some real life experiences in the friend dating pool, if you will. It's certainly going to be ongoing for me as I work towards finding a friend group that aligns with my own self-identity, but I hope it works out. Hopefully, I can find my sort of girl group here in Florida, because in my last episode, I talked about really sort of manifesting your dream life, right? And I do feel like I have that right now in terms of like work-life balance, career goals. I'm living in a beautiful place, a place where most people go to vacation. I love the environment. I love just the small town kind of quaintness of where I live and all the fun little beach shops and things. But the one thing that's really kind of lacking for me is community. And as great as my friends who are long distance are, and I love chatting with them, and I love maintaining those long distance friendships, I think it's important to have community. I think it's equally important to have local community as it is to maintain friendships with people that you've had throughout different stages of your life, if that took you to different places geographically. And for me, it just did. Yeah, I've moved to several different states over my lifetime now. And again, while it's really important to maintain those friendships, it's also, I think, healthy and important to find and maintain new ones. I don't know. That's just kind of where I am lately. That's how I feel about friendships. That's how I feel about rekindling friendships. I think it's a weird spot to be in your late 20s, early 30s, because, you know, we're not all just thrown into a class together where we're all the same age and we're all learning the same things and we're all doing the same things on the weekends and playing sports together. Like, when you're younger, you just take for granted that you're in sort of forced proximity to a bunch of people that are in your age group and in the same stage of life as you. And so it's very easy to make friends. But as an adult, you go into the workforce and, I mean, yeah, you can make friends at work, but even at work, there's going to be tons of people in different stages of life, right? Like, I work with people who are probably, some of the people that I work with are probably 15, 20 years older than me. We're going to be in radically different stages in our lives. It doesn't mean that I can't be friendly with them and, you know, we can't relate over things and we can't have good conversations, but I do think it makes it fundamentally more difficult to make friends. And then add on top of it that I've now moved to a totally new place where I know no one. I have no history here. And in some regards, that's really nice, right? Because you can kind of start over and be whoever you want. But it's also difficult to cultivate a network because a lot of the people here have been friends since high school. So they've kind of like got their friendships. Maybe they're not really looking for new ones. At the same time, I do think that there is beginning to be a bit of an influx of new people moving here. Not all of them, again, in my age group, I do think that a lot of them are like this area is dominated more by established families and even retirees. So it's a challenge, but we're wading through it. And hopefully on the other side of it, I'll have some, at least a few good friends. I will say that from Bumble BFF, I've probably made one good friend so far. And I'm super happy about that. I'm not somebody that needs a huge friend group to be happy. I'm actually like quite introverted, which I think is kind of crazy considering I'm talking to a camera right now. It feels at odds, but this also feels like a very like intimate kind of like friend to friend chat that we're having right now. So it's not as daunting as you would think it would be for someone who's introverted. All of that to say that I'm working on it. I'm trying to build a community. It's harder than it looks. And at the same time, I also have been kind of nostalgic lately for a time where it was a lot easier to make friends. Thanks for hopping along today, guys. I appreciate you listening. If you haven't, give us a follow, leave us a review. I'm trying to find my community here on the internet. If that's you, happy to have you. Please share with someone else that you think would benefit from my content or at least like relate to it. That's it for today. Love you. Bye.